Today is Trinity Sunday, and we focus ordinarily on God, the Creator, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit. But I want to add a fourth person to the Trinity today. If you're at all a follower of Carl Jung, the great Swiss analyst, Jung was a great fan of what he called the quaternity, that there are four faces or four aspects or four persons in the Godhead, the Creator, the Christ, the Spirit, and Holy Wisdom. It's interesting that in that configuration there are two males and two females, or they can also be non-binary as you find meaningful for you. Anyway, I want to say that word as we delve further into holy wisdom. So pray with me. God of delight, your wisdom sings your word at the crossroads where humanity and divinity meet. Invite us into your joyful being where you know and are known in each beginning, in all sustenance, in every redemption, that we may manifest your unity in the diverse ministries you entrust to us, truly reflecting your triune majesty in the faith that acts, in the hope that does not disappoint, and in the love that endures. Amen. Halloween. There's a word we rarely hear these days, unless, of course, you think I'm referring to the autumn occasion when costumed kids ring your doorbell and demand trick-or-treat. However, that word is spelled differently. There is a distinguishing bit of ring to Halloween, the word for today. We are the people of God. Come to this Halloween place. My friend and mentor David Bartlett penned these words as a gift to the people of my home church, Lakeshore Avenue Baptist Church in Oakland, California. John Landgraf, another friend, wrote the tune and labeled it Lakeshore. It was originally entitled Hymn for Pentecost and became a kind of theme song for that congregation. I thought about using it last Sunday for Pentecost, but then I remembered what a thoroughly Trinitarian hymn it is, and so I saved it for today. And we'll sing it at the end of the service. Creator, strong and sure, Jesus, our friend and guide, Spirit and comforter. Each person of the Trinity is given due consideration in its own verse. The verses are lovely, but I especially like the chorus. We are the people of God. Come to this Halloween place. We are the body of Christ, bonded together by grace. What a lovely aspirational notion of what it means to be church. The body of Christ, bonded together by grace. It fits well with our current call to be the church together. But what of this Halloween place? What does it mean to be the people of God come to this Halloween place? Now, David was a highly educated and cultured man. Sometimes his vocabulary stretched beyond the ordinary. So Halloween. The dictionary says it means to make holy or to consecrate. Synonyms include to make sacred, to sanctify, and to bless. We are the people of God who come to this place that somehow makes us a bit more holy, that consecrates us, that sacralizes or sanctifies us, that both blesses and creates us as a blessing. It's an interesting and challenging thought that this might be a Halloween place. You all have heard me talk on occasion about the ministry of the building. I wonder if that is not related to what might make this a Halloween place. Another friend, Don Ng, and I once had a spirited conversation about whether there can actually be a ministry of the building. He took the more conventional, non-liturgical view that a building itself cannot be sacred or a ministry. There must be something sacred or sacralizing, some activity within it to create and sustain its mission. It's the people who inhabit the space and what they do in it that sets it apart, that makes it a hallowing place. I understand this argument. There have been times that I've made it myself. In this regard, I'm reminded of a song maybe that we've sung, I'm not sure, but that sings, "Come build a church with soul and spirit. We need no tower rising skyward, no house of wood or glass or stone." Of course, Ken Miedema is correct. We don't have to have a building to be the church. Soul and spirit should be sufficient building materials. But what do you do when you have a building? Well, not surprisingly, I've come to believe that people can cultivate a ministry of the building. The church on the corner can become a hallowing place, a place where people can be made sacred, sanctified, blessed. There is an interaction between the holy and the human that can take place in a space that we call church that makes it a hallowing place. Yes, it's a mystery. I can't fully explain how or why it happens, but I know it does. More than one person who has entered this building and made use of it has sensed an aura about it that is hallowed. They may not be here at all for spiritual or religious reasons. Yet once they enter this space, they experience something unique that is inherently spiritual, even when the congregation is not present. It makes the building itself attractive, a place where people want to linger, a hallowing place. Yes, it's a lovely space, but the hallowing dimension is more than that. Maybe it's the cloud of witness that hovers within these walls. Maybe it's the efforts that have been made here over the past 150 years or so to worship, to witness, to learn, to grow, to be God's beloved community. Maybe it's the faithful commitment of a people to God and to the gospel and to the well-being of one another and the wider community and all creation. Some combination of these things and more makes this a hallowing place. Now, following today's text, maybe this is a hallowing place because we have made room here for holy wisdom. This is a place in which wisdom has been allowed to call, to raise her voice, a place where she can take her stand and cry out, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live. O simple ones, learn prudence. Acquire intelligence, you who lack it. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. For my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous," she says. "There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to one who understands, and write to those who find knowledge." A word for our troubled times. course, we haven't always paid attention or allowed her to guide us. But perhaps we have been attentive enough and willing to follow to the degree that we at least recognize this as a hallowing place in which God's people are sometimes present and working to bring about God's beloved community. Here, on occasion, we have encountered wisdom, gained knowledge, learned prudence and discretion, acknowledged in awe the Holy One, laid aside pride and arrogance, and gained insight and strength. Isn't this what hallowing is all about? And why we come here week after week seeking the sacred at some level, obvious or hidden? With all my heart, I believe it is. In a reflection entitled "A Desperate Need for A Desperate Need for Wisdom," Hebrew scripture scholar John Holbert rants, "I gaze with mounting horror at the ill-mannered, rude, crude, and ad hominem nonsense that exudes at great lengths from the keyboards of literally thousands of phones and pads and computers. Hundreds of comments ensue, many building on the foolishness of previous authors." I debase the term to name such drivel so, he says, "until any hope of enlightenment is drowned, buried, exploded in a maelstrom of vitriol and a spasm of words vomited from every dark chasm of some verbal hell. I pile on the multiple metaphors for the reason that the social media frenzy does the same, cascading a waterfall of gibberish onto the floors of unsuspecting platforms, swamping gigabytes and terabytes with hogwash by the ton." Amen? Apparently, Hobart has some strong feelings about the way of the modern world. Maybe you do too. His essay was penned in 2016. I wonder how his feelings of disdain and disgust might have intensified, if possible, over the last 9 years. If he felt desperate for wisdom then, how much more must he and we feel desperate for wisdom today? Hyperbole aside, he has a legitimate point. In so many ways, our contemporary society has abandoned wisdom and gone off in search of the lowest possible denominators of social enterprise imaginable. In fact, some defy imagination and threaten our very existence. We are under assault from lies and misrepresentations in the highest seats of power. It's hard to hear truth and recognize righteousness. Empathy is a sin and compassion is a liability. My friend Jim Hopkins observes that an authoritarian government comes with very high costs to liberty, justice, charity, equality, and opportunity. Holbert is right. There is a desperate need in our time for wisdom. Too often today, she stands on the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, beside the gates, in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, crying out, and no one pays her the least attention. More often than not, we are too busy, preoccupied, hardened against her message, to pay any attention to her cry. We are deaf to her voice. We are eagerly on our way somewhere. We are not interested in looking for or finding her hallowing place. We pass quickly by on the other side. And friends, we do so at our own peril. And still, as always, there's good news. There's good news. Holy wisdom, Born of God, architect of the created order, she who has dwelt beside God from the beginning has been God's daily delight, rejoicing before God always, rejoicing in God's inhabited world, even delighting in the human race. She is not going away. She has been ignored, reviled, and abused before, and undoubtedly she will be again. And nevertheless, she persists. She perseveres, offering her gifts in the same vein God offers grace, abundantly, infinitely, to the end of time and beyond. The day will come when the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Holy One as the waters cover the sea, and all of creation will be recognized as hallowing space. Until then, the people of God need places like this, and others we will discover in the days ahead, which are hallowing places, places in which we might discover wisdom, embrace her, and learn her ways. With John Holbert, we may yet pray, "Come quickly, woman, wisdom, and clear our minds of foolishness. Cleanse our mouths from stupidity. Make our words and work with one another worthy of the high calling of God to love and care for all of God's vast and rich creation. Thanks be to God for all the ways and all the days in which this has been a place where wisdom was welcomed, a hallowing place. As we continue to care for this hallowed place, may we also find and build up other hallowing places in our journey as people of God, the body of Christ, bonded together, if not always in person, then surely by grace." Amen.